Today, our parasha has shown how brother can go against brother. Can also show, also shows how Tamar had to work to get what she needed. Tamar means victorious spirit. And the Tamar in our reading is no different. She needed a victorious spirit to get through the deaths of two brothers and then to try and get the third brother. But to me, there's a lot more to it. Because all through this parasha, it doesn't matter whether it was Tamar, it doesn't matter whether it was Yehuda, it doesn't matter whether it was Yosef. They all had Yah's spirit upon them. And it's that his spirit that I want to concentrate on today. Because it's his spirit that brings comfort to our life. I'm not named Tamar for no reason. Even my name, Tamar, means being victorious spirit. I've come through in my last 70 plus years a lot, and it speaks into my life as a victorious spirit. But that name also brings me comfort, knowing that Yah chose me to have that name, and it didn't matter what I go through in life, he is with me. And so what I want to concentrate on today is to how I can bring you into the divine presence of Yehovah to give you comfort in your circumstances, no matter what they are. Because it doesn't matter what we live in, nothing is perfect for everyone. And more people go through trials and tribulations than others. So I'm going to start with Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, which I think you'll note that Malachi put in here. 9 and 10 are the most important verses that needed to be read in that parasha of this section. But when I'd written this, I didn't realise he'd had that in there. So if we go to 9 and 10, it says, "Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Yosef, and they sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Yehovah was with him. He rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favour and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him chief administrator over Egypt and over all of his household." And we read further that he, even though he was put in jail, he was still over everyone within the jail. This comfort that we get from Yehovah's divine presence comes in many forms. And I'm going to give you five of these today. And to me, five is Yah's number of grace. The fact that we are here today is a symbol of his grace. And as we are leading into the festival of Hanukkah, also known as the Feast of Dedication, I want to allow you to see how you can come into this festival not just to rededicate your lives to Yeshua, who is the light of the world, but also to bring you into the divine presence of his Father. And that was the sole reason he came on this earth. He came to bring the people back to Yehovah because they were straying, just as they strayed in what we were reading today, and just as they are straying today. And Yeshua came on this earth. He became Yehovah manifested in the flesh to bring people back to the Father, back to himself. So to come into his presence daily brings comfort, no matter what our circumstances or situations in life. So the five forms of comfort that I'm going to discuss are: one, it is part of our pilgrimage of life. No matter what we do in our life, life is a pilgrimage. We travel from one part to another in our life. And if we stick close to Yah and his comfort, then it will be about, it will help us. His divine presence has to be in there. His divine presence will provide us with rest, no matter what we travel through in life. Yehovah's divine presence gives courage in life's battles. Is there anyone out there that hasn't had a battle? Don't think so. And the closer we get to him, and the more we attach ourselves, especially to Shabbat and Torah observance, those battles seem to rise up, because Hasatan doesn't want us there. And number four, his divine presence brings us comfort in trials. We all have trials. And that last one, but not least, his divine presence is assured to the smallest assembly of believers. It doesn't matter whether there's two of you meeting in your house today. It doesn't matter if there's one. Because where you are, and if you are in his presence, then he is with you. But we know that where the two or more are gathered, he is with us. So it doesn't matter how small the assembly is. It doesn't have to be large, like we're not even large, but it doesn't have to be like this. It can be someone sitting home, in their home at the moment, watching on live stream. Yehovah's presence can be with you. So one, it is part of our pilgrimage of life. Life is a pilgrimage in this world, as I said. We go from one journey to the next. If we are in Yehovah's divine presence, then the journey of life is much easier to bear. In Bereshit 28:15, Yehovah says, "Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised." Now, when Yehovah says it, he means it. And as Yosef's father was told, Yaakov, in Bereshit 31:3, when Yehovah said to Yaakov, "Return to the land of your ancestors, to your kinsmen, I will be with you." Yehovah continued to tell his people when he spoke to Moshe in Egypt in Shemot Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. He replied, "I will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that when you have led the people out of Egypt, you will worship Elohim on this mountain." And Yehovah wants us to tabernacle with us. He wants us to tabernacle with him and live in his divine presence on a daily basis. How do I know this? Once again, his word tells me. We go to Exodus 29 and verse 45. "Then I will live with the people of Israel. I will be their Elohim, and that they will know that I am Yehovah their Elohim, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, in order to live with them. I am Yehovah their Elohim." That word applies to each and every one of us today. Because we too, if we're not born of Israel, we are grafted in. And therefore that word is applicable to us. And it doesn't matter what trials we go through, as long as we cling to his word, he will comfort us. This is what kingdom living is all about. We don't have to wait until the next life. We should be kingdom living now. As believers, we should live each day as if we are true heirs to the Father. Not servants, not slaves, heirs, heirs to the Father. If we are the believers that we say we are, then we should live, act, breathe, and witness to others with the divine presence of Yehovah. This should be our comfort, knowing that we are in him and he is in us. Regardless of our situation, we should start our day in his presence, giving all our cares, all our situations, anything that we're going to do that day completely over to him, believing that he will do what he promised. His promises are true, yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to stand on those promises. We can always go to his word, and he will always reveal to us what he needs us to do each day. We can plan our day, but if we've committed it to him each morning, it doesn't matter what happens, good or bad. It is Yehovah who has allowed that to happen. And he has allowed his plans to come to fruition, even though they weren't ours. He may change it for the better, or he even may change it to the worse, according to our thinking. But when we actually look back on the situation, as he does, we can see how his plan has worked out for our good. If we've committed that day to him, we have to rest in the fact that Yehovah is in control. Otherwise, we're taking that control back. And that's what we do as adults. We take back control. But he wants us to come as you little children. And if a child has a broken toy, and you've heard this one before, but I've spoken to you before. If a child has a broken toy, he asks the father to fix it. And he'll give the toy to the father, and he'll let go. And he'll wait. And he'll wait very patiently, because he's a child, until the toy's fixed, because he wants his toy fixed. He doesn't want to go around with a broken one. And then when it's fixed, the father gives it back to him or her. But as adults, we're a little bit different. We tend to give things to the father, and then before he's had a chance to fix it, we grab it back from him and wonder why things aren't working the way we want them to. So we give it again and then snatch it back again, instead of being like that little child and waiting for the father to fix it. You see, it's part of our pilgrimage of life to be in his divine presence. But we have to wait for him. We have to wait for him to be in control and not take it back. So this brings me to point two. His divine presence provides rest. Yehovah promised Moshe in Shemot Exodus 33:14, "Set your mind at rest. My presence will go with you after all." Another word for rest is actually surrender. We have to let it go. We can't keep hanging on to it. But if we rest in him, we can surrender it all to him. You all know that old song, "I surrender all, I surrender all." How many times have we sung it? But then never rested in him. We have to work out what we say. Peace or shalom, whatever you want to call it, is not having everything in life perfect. Shalom actually means being content in your circumstances. Now, there's some people in this room that live in horrific circumstances. Many of you would be gobsmacked to know how the situations that they go through in their daily life. But the point is that those people also have peace, because they know that Yehovah is in control. They're here in this room week after week after week with a smile on their face, and you would never know what they go through in their daily life. I know. I pray for them. I get emails from them all the time. Can be daily at times. But the point is that they have peace. They know that Yehovah is in control, and so they rest in him. They've surrendered all to him. So to have shalom means to be content in your circumstances, no matter what they are. And we can only receive this if we surrender everything to him daily. If you give him each day, as you start your morning prayers and you commit your day to him, and you ask him to have his kingdom purpose over your life and over your day, you can let it go, you can let it happen. But you've got to give it to him. It can't happen unless you do that. Hasatan always wants to attack the mind first. And he puts his doubts in within our circumstances. He'll put doubts in about our worth in our families, in our jobs, in society in general. And this is even more so when we're Torah observant believers. Because we've then got our old Christian friends telling us, hey, you're on the wrong road. You're going, you know, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. You're on the road to destruction. And then you start getting doubts. And things happen. But I'm sure there's no one here that hasn't felt more blessed after being on that Torah observant road than they were on the previous one. So Hasatan takes pleasure in robbing us of our joy. He doesn't want us to be content in our circumstances. He wants to rob us of that. And therefore he will prevent us, if he can, from resting in Yehovah. If we do not operate daily in his rest, then we are causing ourselves to become slaves to Hasatan. We're letting him win. We're letting him take control. Can we go to Vayikra 26 and verse 12, please? It says, but I will walk among you and be your Elohim, and you will be my people. I am Yehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke, so that you can walk upright. Yehovah wants us to be a slave to no one, especially to Hasatan. We are servants to Yehovah, but slaves to no one. Even though we come under the grace of salvation through Yeshua HaMashiach, if we are not operating in kingdom living, we are still bound by the yoke of Hasatan. The yoke was broken by Yeshua on the stake. We have to walk in the promises of Yehovah's word and live in the kingdom now. Not wait for our death to live in heaven with Yeshua. As believers, we will never die. Because what lives is our mind, our will and our emotions, and the spirit that is within us, which is Yehovah. It's this flesh that we see, that we can feel, that we can touch. That's the only thing, which is just our tent that we're living in on this earth. It's no different to a tent. But the mind, the will and the emotions, the soul and the spirit live forever. When we get our spiritual bodies, we are completely different. Yah showed me very many years ago that our spiritual bodies are as big as our trust in the spirit that is within us. And I used to think, oh, well, I was going to be 8 foot tall because I'm only 4 foot on this earth. But then when I went to Israel, he showed me something different. When I went to Israel, I saw tamarim, the date palms. Date palms are called tamarim. A tamar is a date. Date palms, it's tamarim. They are 20 to 30 foot tall. They are straight. They are resilient. They can take drought, famine, wind, flood, you name it, and they'll always bounce back to being straight. When I got to Israel the second time I was there, and we were up in the Golan, and there were these amazing Etz Temerim, actually in a Druid's village. And Yehovah said to me, that is how tall you will be. That is the spirit that is within you. That is how tall you will be. I don't get visual images. I don't dream. I don't get visual images. I can't see it. He has to show it to me literally for me to get things. I don't know what Yah gives you. But ask him yourself. How big is my spirit? What more do I have to do to get my spirit so tall that when I get to be with you, people are going to be looking up to me instead of looking up at them all the time. You see, it's the spirit that is within you. It's the trust that is within you that is important. It's this presence of life's battles that's going to bring you into a stage of realizing how big your spirit is. Because the more battles you get through, the stronger you become. And the larger your trust and the larger your spirit will be. Which brings us to point three. The courage to live through life's battles. Jehovah's divine presence gives us that courage. Living in Jehovah's presence is like living in a bed of roses. And I mean that. The wonderful beauty is all around us. The sweet aroma that we never want to leave. But whilst moving through the roses, we get pricked, scratched, and even torn by many of the thorns of life. People who say life is a bed of roses don't usually understand what they're saying. But I believe life is a bed of roses. I actually love yellow roses. And I have one small yellow rose bush at home that I keep in a pot. And my youngest son actually gave it to me for Mother's Day many years ago. And because he knows I love yellow roses. And this year the roses have been prolific. But they've been in a way that I can have three coming, and by the time they've died off, the next lot are coming up, and the next lot are coming up. So my roses, I get one or two to three roses in my home virtually every day. And it's really amazing. And the perfume is delightful. Because produced in mass, therefore they've got the perfume where you can buy roses in the store and they've got, you know, from a florist, and they've got no perfume at all. They might look good, but they certainly don't last as long as mine, and they certainly haven't the perfume. But even when we go through tough times, we can smell the roses, even though the thorns hit us. Life is a battle, but Jehovah gives us the strength to fight the battle. And we can look at life as a battle being torn by thorns, or we can look at life smelling the roses, because it's the sweet aroma of Jehovah. He gave us that perfume, and we can look at it as what it's Him that we are smelling. It is Him, His creation that we've got, and we can look at life in that way. We've got a choice of how we want to see our life. In Devarim 20 and verse 1, it says, "When you go out to fight your enemies and you see horses, chariots and a force larger than yours, you are not to be afraid of them, because Jehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you." And this promise is still true today. I believe with what is happening in the world today with ISIS and cells that can be formed and explode anywhere in the world. And we know that there have been people just up the road here in Currabee and those places just in south of Brisbane that have got ISIS affiliations. That you never know what is around the corner. We don't know what battle we are going to be fighting. But Jehovah's promise is still true. That He brought His people out of the land of slavery. We're no longer in slavery, and He is with us. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are going to be in the future. That promise is true to this very day. And it will be true in the future to whatever we're going to go through. We might not be fighting people with horses and chariots, but we are fighting and will be fighting a force larger than ourselves. Hasatan and his host of demons. And they fight us from the left, from the right, from all sides. These forces can come from within our relationships in the home. They can come in our workplace. They can be in our finances or even our health. As long as we continue to stand on Yehovah's word, he will always be there for us. People of this world who have money and think they can buy their way out of any situation, or a successful businessman and women who, when they say jump, the people they employ say how high, are very difficult to convince that they need Yeshua in their lives. It is only by going through these trials of life that we are able to experience the presence of Yehovah and the comfort that he gives while we are in those trials. Which leads me to point four. That is, his divine presence brings comfort in trials, in Yeshayahu 43 and verse 2. Which tells us, when you pass through the water, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you. For I am Yehovah your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour, or your Yeshua. We can only stay in his divine presence if we go to his word in times of trials. We will and should always have trials in our life. Yes, I meant that. We will and we should always have trials in our life. Why? I'm glad you asked. If Hasatan is not attacking us, then we must be operating in his domain, because he leaves his own alone. But if we're working for Yehovah, Hasatan's going to attack us. There's no doubt about it. This comfort that we will have will come from Yehovah. So we must learn to expect trials, knowing full well that Yehovah will be with us in that trial, and that he will bless us, and he will be our comfort. Now, this comfort can come through other believers, or it can come through trials. And this is what a messianic community is all about. This is why we have community. Not separate little places, but a place we can come to in times of need. A place where we can be a comfort to others. Someone that you can contact in times of your need. And don't hesitate to do that. When we do not know where to turn, we have put it to prayer and we still can't find a way out. Then we contact members within this community. They may have been given a word for you or an answer that you least expected. Other believers who are not in the situation are not emotionally involved and can therefore get deeper into the divine presence of Yehovah for your situation for you. So community is really important. Now, we have an awesome ministry team that's willing to pray for you, with you and for you, if you allow them to help you know your needs, if you allow them to know your needs and allow them to help you. We can't know or pray for every situation if we're not informed. So the men, please contact the men. Women, contact the women. And I prefer that to happen. I prefer men to pray with men, women to pray with women. And whatever the ministry team does, it's completely confidential. And I'm going to ask a favour. Can I get the ministry team to stand now, please? So Davina, Rachel, the guys up the back, the two guys are standing, Luke, Yarek. Okay, and we've got Mark in with the children. Okay, now Minister Sean's not here today, but everyone has different gifts, and it's important. Yarek is awesome with the Polish people of our community, and that's his ministry, with the Polish people. He's also an evangelist. And each and every one of us has different gifts. And you'll find that... thanks, guys, you can sit down. You'll find that Minister Malachi and Mark, who runs helps with running the children's ministry, have put together a new website this week. And you'll find in the new website, we'll probably show it to you later if we can, all of the phone numbers of all the ministry team. And we haven't finished putting it together. We'll get photographs of them and everything like that and put it together within the next couple of weeks for you. But I want you to go to them. Don't be afraid, because what you say is completely confidential. You know, I always say what is said here stays here. You know, what is said in this room where I'm counselling or whatever stays in this room. I don't even share it with Malachi. And I'm, you know, expect the other ministry teams are the same. That if we don't know what your needs are, we can't pray for them. But I'm sure there are people here that can stand up and testify how by releasing their information and us being able to pray for them has helped them through situations. So I want you to trust them, because it's really important. But I do emphasise, please, same sex if you can. If I have to counsel a male of any kind at any time, I always have Malachi with me. I don't do it by myself. And I have had to do that at times. So praise Yah, because it's hard to go through trials. But praise him while we're going through them, because it's often the last thing you want to do, but is usually the best thing to get yourself into his kingdom presence. And how can we praise him? Put on a praise tape. Start, you know, mightn't feel like singing, but you can. Zacharias says in chapter 2 and verse 10, "Sing, daughter of Zion, rejoice, for here I am coming, and I will live among you, says Jehovah." It doesn't matter what the situation, learn to sing through it. Put on a praise tape, CD, whatever, when you're feeling low. You may not be able to sing to it straight away, but just listen. Just rest in the presence. And before long, you'll be able to help, won't be able to help yourself. You'll start humming away, you'll start praising, or you'll start worshipping. But just listen to it, rest in it. Just put your feet up, close your eyes and listen. And let whatever's going on in your mind and whatever's happening in the situation get right away from you. And you'll find that it will disappear. Whilst there is life, we can praise Yah and thank him for his mercies every single day. It's just practicing for when we get to be with him. That's all it is. It's what's when we get to be in the life to come. I see that as being in his presence, praising him 24/7. Time will stand still and I'll not be able to get enough of his presence. But if I practice here in my trials, I won't have those trials later on. Mishlei or Proverbs 17:22 says, "A happy heart is good medicine, but low spirits saps one's strength." With a happy heart, you'll be able to smell the roses instead of concentrating on the thorns that are surrounding you, which brings me to my final point. Jehovah's divine presence is assured to the smallest community of believers. We were told by Yeshua in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make from all nations into Talmudim, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age." Now, I want to clarify two things in that scripture. Maybe I should read it again, because I'm sure you've heard it something differently. Maybe you've heard it like this. Therefore go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, immersing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. In most Bibles, that's what it says, in the name. But in the Hebrew, it says into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh are two totally different things to the name. We are told into the reality of Him. How do we know the reality of the Father, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh? By being in His presence, by having His divine presence living within us. And then Yeshua says, I will be with you always, yes, until the end of the age. How many people thought that was the end of the world? Till the end of time? Till the end of whatever? He doesn't say what age. There's more than one age. Okay? There's many more than one age. There was the age before the flood. Was the age up until the end of the systems of Moshe, of the Levitical priesthood system. Today you might say we're living in the rabbinical system or the rabbinical age. But we're also living in the messianic age. So we don't know what the age is until the end of the age. There can be more than one age. And Yehovah can let us, He will be with us no matter what age it is. And Yeshua says, I will be with you until the end of the age. It doesn't matter what age we are in, He will be with us until that end. We're also told when two or more are gathered together in agreement with Yeshua, He is with us. Now, we are a small congregation compared to a lot of churches that maybe many of you have come out of. But Yehovah knows our hearts. And that is why every Shabbat, the Ruach HaKodesh always turns up and the divine presence is not only evident but powerful in healing situations of all kinds. Yehovah knows our hearts. If it were only Malachi and myself, we would continue to do what we're doing this very day if none of you were here. Because the two of us are together, Yeshua is with us, we would still keep going. Because the divine presence would be with us. It might not be, if we stopped, it may no longer be evident in our lives. But we won't stop. We have no intentions of stopping. I don't ever want to be out of His presence. Yeshua says, and remember, I will be with you always. 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 I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. What is that? I don't know when the end of the age is, but I do know that He will not give in. Yeshua did not say, I will not die for their sins. He gave His life for me and He gave it for you. The least we can do is to desire to be in His divine presence to the very end of this age, whatever it might be. I do not know what you would call this age. But as I said, as long as we are in Yeshua, we're in His age. We've been in His age since Yeshua was crucified, and the world as we know it is not the same as it was 15 years ago or 16 years ago when we started Beit Gan Eden. The age of Islam is rising. Different age. Is this the end of the age and the age of Islam starting up? I don't know. Is it the age that is to come, or as many are expecting, the return of Yeshua in our lifetime? Will we see Him returning on Yerushalayim in the clouds to stop the carnage of Hasatan that's being perpetrated against the world and all believers at this present time? you know, it doesn't matter what Islam and ISIS want to do. They want to kill off every non-follower of Islam, every infidel. Is that what we're moving into? Is that a new age? If we're in his presence, it doesn't matter what happens in the future. The world situation as is today, I would count it an honour and a privilege to be able to continue in his in Yeshua's presence until he returns. To me, it's an awesome experience to be part of Torah observant believers, to live and to reign with him and never face death. But to live with him literally is what my desire is. And I'm sure it's yours too. We can only do that if we seek Yehovah's divine presence daily. If we commit everything to him, surrender it all to him. Start the day with him. Make an appointment with him each morning. And don't forget to make one at night as well. If you start the day with that much, you'll find that his presence will be evident with you throughout the whole day. You'll be given revelations of his promises so much more, and you'll never want to be out of his presence. I can't start my day without him. It's the first thing I do. Malachi's often up before I am. He's already read his word by the time I wake up. But the first thing I do is get up, sit up and put my computer on my lap. Malachi brings me in my cup of coffee. And then I get into the word. That's how I start my day. It doesn't matter where I am. It's only a couple of times in my life I haven't done it and I've been unconscious. But apart from that, I've done it. I'm literally speaking that. I've been in hospital unconscious. So apart from that, that's the first thing I do every day. And I believe that if we can start and commit each day to him, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situation, regardless of what happens in life, we can cope with that day. Because he doesn't give us more than we can bear. Sometimes we think it is more than we can bear. But when we look back, you see, Yehovah sees the end product. We can look back. Sorry, Yehovah sees the future product, what's happening in the future, which is the end product. But we can only look back at what's happened. So he knows what it's like long before it's happened. He knows every minute of our life. He knows every day that's been planned. We just need to go to Psalm 139. And he tells us that. So if we realise what we're going through in this day is part of Yehovah's plan for us, it's part of being able to grow and be know more of him and be able to be in his presence more. Maybe that's why he gives us those trials, so we can seek him. Because if everything's honky-dory, we don't seek him. As I said, the people that have got everything don't want to know about him. But the more we seek him, the more we will find him, and the more he will be there for us. So let us now go to the remembrance service to thank him for all that he has done for us, especially in this past week.